dedicated to all the hackers and the crackers.
To the hackers and the crackers.
I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, sitting firewalled ho. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll sue you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISO? Let me through my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. You see, G, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones. And NASDAQ leaves you flat on your back. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack.
Dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial code, source code, ISO, RAM, SIP, SIP. Dedicated to the hackers and the crackers.
Hello. Boogers.
What the, what? Dude, you screwed up my intro.
I just said boogers. How does that screw up your intro?
Man, that doesn't make sense because it's all the whole swab thing, you know? And this is
swab us?
Oh, well, yeah, it's Binary Revolution Radio, episode, what is it, 178 now?
That sounds right.
Yeah, 178 sounds right. And Mr. Booker's over there is stank dog.
Yeah, we are going to be covering everything there is to know about boogers, hacking boogers, freaking boogers.
I was aiming for a Wilderness Survival 3 myself, but...
Oh, jeez. You got the wrong guy on the show for that. Now, wait a minute. We have two former scouts on the show. I didn't quite make Eagle Scout like somebody on the line.
Yeah. You lack discipline.
No, but we went to that whole like thing every year. Like I don't know if you had them here, but we had to go and do all the competitions. We had to make the big walking A-frame thing and do the obstacle course with a bucket of water and all that stuff. Did you do those?
Well, we had that, but I don't think you had what we had because up here we have the Klondike Derby, which is a giant snow type thing, and I don't think you really have that down in Florida.
Well, this wasn't in Florida.
Oh, where was this?
Earlier on, younger in life. Oh. Yeah. Yeah, because when I moved to Florida, I was about 27, and I would have been pretty unusual in the Boy Scouts, you know, the running around with a bunch of kids. That's kind of a whole Michael Jackson thing going on.
Yeah, but you would have liked it. Oh, it makes me feel so young.
Yeah.
Come into the back of the woods.
Yeah, we joke, but there probably is a website fetish out there for it somewhere.
Oh, I'm sure there is.
Yep. Oh, so, yeah, 178, is that what we're up to these days?
Yes, actually.
I'm off track of so much. I'm completely spending every waking moment working on this freaking server we've been having problems with for the last couple of weeks.
The server that is still not fixed. Oh, by the way, today's date is December 19th, 2006.
Oh, yeah, we didn't say the date.
Yeah. Someone threw off all my mojo because someone decided to say, boogers!
Spur of the moment. It's my word of the day now, I guess.
Boogers!
It was funny. It's a funny word.
It was humorous.
Yeah, it's not exactly like, it's not like a dirty word or anything, but it's a funny, silly word. Booger, booger, booger.
Pussy, box, those are all clean words. You know, snatch.
Pussy box. Wait a minute.
It was an old George Carlin routine. So he's talking about how certain words are more dirtier than others. And like, you know, snatch, pussy, box, those are all clean words. I mean, you can go into a Looney Tunes cartoon and hear, we're going to snatch that pussy and put him in a box.
Yeah, it's all about context,
yep.
I guess. I don't even think the Looney Tunes could get away with that these days.
Well, yeah, not today with the PC police.
Yeah, exactly.
PC
well,
plot.
How about we go back on topic, even though it's my fault for taking us way off. Why don't we, what's the email look like this week? Are we ready for email? Or do we have, how long has it been since I've done this show? You think I'd get it, remember how to do this by now?
Oh, I mean, we did it a while. When I took it over, I think was the last time we did the show together.
Yeah.
No, voting. Voting was the one. Voting.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about the e-voting one.
Yeah.
So this is the miscellaneous bullshit section of the show?
Yeah. Do you want to go what's on the server here? Because
it's like every other podcast on the interweb.
Yeah, miscellaneous bullshit. Or we could have the entire show where we answer email, and we just read the email out, and then we type the response back, and we don't tell them what we said.
Well, we can narrate this episode of The Simpsons that I'm watching.
Or we can narrate somebody's webcam.
Ooh, oh, that would be a pwned episode there.
Actually, you'll appreciate this. My sister gave me an early Christmas present. She found it in Target. It was in the $1 DVD bin. It's Santa Claus Conquers the Martians.
Oh, they did a Mystery Science Theater that
Yes, and that's why she got it.
Yeah. Well, most of the Mystery Science Theaters now, the cool thing about them is that you can watch the regular version of the movie on the disc or the mystified version on the disc. So you actually get the original.
Oh, really? Because I never actually bought...
Yeah, but not for a dollar.
Yeah, I never actually bought an MST3K DVD.
Oh, I have them all. I have a box, all eight box sets of it. There's four in each set.
You suck.
Yeah. Oh, I love my Mystery Science Theater 3000.
I remember, like, the first episode we did together, you lost one of your hard drives, and it had all your Misty episodes on it.
Yeah, and that sucked. Thanks for reminding me of that and bringing me down.
Yeah, well, that's for boogers, huh? Yeah.
All right, fine, we're even. Well, let's stop taking it out on the listeners.
So the server is somewhat fixed?
The server is, well, hope we don't jinx ourselves here, but
hopefully.
Yes, Tabiz and I were up working on it till like 1:30 this morning. See, here's the thing about it. I've been on the road like two of the last 3 weeks, and it's kind of hard to do a lot of this stuff from a hotel room with questionable access, and I don't have all my equipment and all my passwords and stuff handy when I'm out on the road, unfortunately, and I don't have all the software that makes it things a lot easier. I can do it and get the job done, but it goes a lot slower. So luckily, Savant has been very helpful. I've been on the phone with him just about every night between the two of us trying a lot of different things.
On the phone every night. I love you. I love you, too.
Mm-hmm.
I miss you more.
Okay. Nick and I kind of working on the database side of things, trying to figure out, you know, what was going on with that and trying to optimize MySQL, which, as Not Theory and I have both stated many times in the past, is a steaming pile of ostrich shit. So, bottom line is MySQL is the suck. cPanel is the suck.
That I'll agree with. No problem there.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, cPanel's great when it's a small site and you don't have a lot of demands. It's not really all that efficient.
Or you don't care about security.
Well, we haven't had too many security problems other than a couple site defacements on some Mambo stuff, and that's people didn't update them and take care of them. So that's going to happen.
That always does.
But for the most part, it hasn't been too awful bad.
That's good.
So, yeah, hopefully we're taken care of for now, for the short term. Now, that just means we've isolated and fixed the individual problem. There's still other casualties of war that have been affected, like we're having some email problems. I've been seeing a lot of emails. For some reason, specifically the Gmail have been bouncing a lot. Maybe that's because the server was down a lot, they were bouncing. Maybe there's some kind of mail routing problem that we created with the other changes we made. It's just an absolute clusterfuck is what it's been. And again, I'm not a system admin. I mean, everything that I know system administration-wise and Unix-wise has been from trial and error, from running this server.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's pretty much all self-taught. So I am certainly not a sysadmin, which is where Savant's been very helpful, and Tabiz has been very helpful because those guys are much better at that kind of stuff than I am. So between all of us working together, it was pretty much a team effort, and this was not something like even a good sysadmin with a lot of experience probably wouldn't have been able to isolate this down so easily. So it's, you know, I don't feel like we missed anything obvious. We just had to go through that debugging process of figuring out exactly what it was. And again, it's not, it was basically just MySQL optimization. I wish it was a better story than that, but it's not. There were no attacks. It was not DDoS. Well, I guess it was a DDoS from MySQL, if you want to think of it that way.
It was a DDoS from users trying to visit the site.
Yeah, exactly. And we've grown to the point now where we're just getting so many hits that in the past, this server, which is a pretty powerful server with plenty of memory, it should be able to handle this load. In the past, it was running with poor optimization and got away with it because it was so powerful that it could handle all that wasted overhead.
Mm-hmm.
But as we've grown now, we're getting so many more users. I mean, it's been sluggish for 6+ months, in my opinion. and been running, you know, slower and slower and slower, and it just finally came to a head where it's, you know, started choking on the amount of load because it wasn't optimized. So now we've gotten to the point where we really have to be careful with the server optimization without sacrificing security and usability if we can help it. So we're just, it's just a growth, you know, it's just a growth.
DMR popularity.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, as much as we suck and everybody hates me, they still come to the site. Maybe because I'm not on the site so much anymore, that's why it's becoming popular. I've been holding it back all this time. The moment I put Seal in charge and got this moderating team of cool people together, people like the forums, you know. As long as I get the hell out of the way, everything's great.
Well, because you're a noob, as you already stated.
I'm going to try to abandonate myself only over to the stankdog.com. Maybe that'll keep me out of trouble.
Abandonation.
Yeah, because people piss me off when they go on our forums and start demanding, like, we owe them an explanation for downtime and demanding an exclamation point. So.
Not pointing any certain person out there, are we?
No, of course not. Nope. Just speaking generally. General speaking there. Wouldn't single anybody out. It's not my style.
All right.
Anyway.
Well, that actually was a pretty good housekeeping segment, I got to say.
Well, I mean, really, it's that really honestly joking aside, I mean, I'm kind of in a weird mood tonight, so it's kind of a little bit sillier than usual. But, every waking moment I've been spending doing it. Well, I mean, working, obviously. I'm on the road, traveling, working, doing stuff, and, you know, doing the Juarez thing, and which we might be having a report from the State of the Juarez Union coming up soon. I spend every minute that I'm not working, I go back to my hotels and dial in until 2 and 3 in the morning and get a couple hours of sleep and then have to go back to work at 7, which is even triply compounded when I'm crossing 2 or 3 time zones back and forth.
That must be pretty weird to commute across time zones.
Yeah, my sleep pattern is really kind of foobar right now. But yeah, hopefully we're back up and running, and that's the end of that.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the state of the server address, Mr. President.
There you go. State of the Juarez address. That'll be the next one.
All right. Should we go into email?
Possibly. Oh, sounds like
okay.
A plan.
Our first email.
Damn, you're still using that same song for email? You haven't come up with anything
different? Yeah, well, you're the one who said, oh man, you need to have the opening theme the same, you need to have the format the same, you need to have the email theme the same.
Oh, no, I did not.
Dude, you totally did.
I said two things, opening theme song the same and our good old same hack time, same hack channel. Everything else I gave you free reign.
You didn't want the format to change, and I thought you said the email too.
No, I don't care about the email. I mean, I like the email theme song.
Oh, I like the
wrong.
Email theme song too.
BenRev.com.
There we go. There's our email theme now.
All right, now we're officially an email the acapella version. I will not be appearing on American Idol anytime
soon. No, I think we should just.
Although, my good friend Decoder, who unfortunately can't be recorded these days, and I have been talking for years about going on there and just doing something whacked out just to be like one of the weird, crazy, funny people. We were going to go on there and claim that we were like twins or something like that and go audition and sing some really weird song or just go in and like scream heavy metal or something like that just to be silly because...
That's who you are.
Because I'm silly like that, I guess.
Silly. I'm silly like that. Thank you, Frank Rizzo.
Silly like that. Silly. Not to be confused with silly codes.
Oh, that's what Decoder is. If you're going to sing something silly, he's going to sing like... Oh, Lynn Mass, City Hall, DS1.
We were going to go in and be a jug band.
There we go.
But that didn't work out. Yeah, we're putting together a jug band. That might actually happen. We just won't do it on American Idol. Because there just aren't enough jug bands in the world anymore.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I mean, or washboard bands.
It'd be a jug band with all hacker themed.
There we
music.
Go. You heard about nerdcore? This is jugcore or
jugcore.
Nerd jug.
That sounds like it could go a different direction than jugcore, really. Anyway, what's our first
email tonight's from El Jefe, and it's hello Black Ratchet, Stank Dog, and all other hosts. And wow, I gotta actually say this is the first time that someone's actually addressed something to you, and actually you've been here. So
must
have known, even though I didn't.
El Jefe.
During episode 177, the closing music was the same as the opening music. You know, the Zerl song. What happened to the music the Faceman promised to supply? Also, the GDP hack radio server was offline. Is that part of the general wonkiness of the BinRev server you mentioned during episode 177? El Jefe.
Yes.
Yeah, I screwed up 177, and I never actually checked it because I was in a rush. And we'll fix that. So Faceman was very kind to...
What happened? You just have to go back and put the closing
music.
Yeah, that's
all
that
happened. Put the closing music on and upload it again. Or basically, essentially, give it to you or Nick or somebody, and they can upload it for me because I don't have the lead access.
There you go. Well, and actually, you tried to upload the show and it had errors because of all the other server stuff.
Just like getting back to the server thing, am I going to be uploading this show? Be able to?
I hope so.
That would suck.
Hopefully everything's back to working, but I guess
we'll find out. I'll have to log right back in after we record this.
God forbid you have to actually manually upload.
I can't manually upload the thing. That's the problem.
Oh please, you can FTP it up there. You know
I can FTP the site. That's how far as I got.
That.
But if you want to like schedule it, you're fine.
Then you call me and tell me to move the freaking file over.
I'll be sure to do that. You weren't, but as we previously stated, you weren't around last week.
Well, that's true.
So I'm sending out forum posts saying, help!
You know something else funny is the last episode that Not Theory and I did, which I don't remember how long ago, was we had snuck some funny outtakes on at the very end of that one, too. Some stuff we recorded before the show. Kind of, I think there's a few of those on tonight's show. I don't know if they'll ever see the light of day. I hope not. But we had some outtakes with him and me singing and saying some funny stuff, and I slipped them on after the closing music. See, people shut off during the closing music. I know that. They don't listen to the closing music all the way out, which is a shame because we end with some really cool closing music and support a lot of independent artists. I can't announce that yet. Oh, that's another project that might be coming up. About our independent artists and music, so... on DDP Hack Radio, so I'll announce that when we get closer. But we close out, and we always have for 4+ years. Wait, how long?
I don't know. You started. I picked it up in 2005. So
crap, I don't remember. However long we've been doing it, from day one, we've always used independent closing music, and we've stuck with that, and hopefully people will hear some stuff that they've never heard before, some stuff they'll like and enjoy and go and support. So we've kind of always done that, and it's a shame that probably not as many people listen to it as they would. Most people just listen for the show and the content, which is fine, which is great, and listen. But I slip a few things at the end of the closing music on occasion. I've done it, and I did that in that Not Theory episode. And did you ever get any email of anybody saying that
heard
it? Yeah, I did it. We did it too, right about the time that people were remixing some of my other "I'm a Fucking Moron" remixes and stuff like that. So it was perfect fodder for somebody to make another song like that, I think.
People are gonna be like downloading like the entire archive of all the Not Theory episodes, trying to find these shows.
It was the last one we did. I mean, but yeah, it'll be funny to see if there's a spike. People are gonna remix that into a song now. So that's cool.
Actually, another thing that we forgot to mention, since someone messed up my mojo, is that this is our Christmas special.
Oh, yeah. I should have done the whole... See, if you would have told me that in the beginning, I would have done the whole thing in a Santa Claus voice. Or my pathetic attempt at a Santa Claus
Thanks
voice. Thanks
for asking kids to sit up on his lap, and that's just been disturbing.
Yeah, but I don't only do that in December. I mean, don't make me sound like a freak or anything. I do that in July just as easily as December.
The red suit turns him on.
Oh,
the beard.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow. Has there ever been a Santa Claus porn?
I'm sure there has been.
I've never seen it. You'd think I would have heard of it if there was. If it's porn, I think I've pretty much heard of it all. Actually, not even a small fraction of it. But.
Stank Dog is the encyclopedia of porn.
See, here we go. This is why I shouldn't be allowed to make porn, because I come up with these weird ideas. See, like, I would make, like, the fucking godfather of porn. Like, instead of all this, you know, pizza delivery guy and the plumber and blah, 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 and even these fed, like, I would make a porn with a little bit of a budget, and I'd have, like, the fucking X-Men, and they'd be walking around, like, fucking in the air while they're flying and using their superpowers and shit like that, and I'd have the fucking Hulk with a giant green cock, and it would be just the most... I would win Oscars. That's all I'm saying. I would win awards.
Well, they have
and
the porn
award,
porn, which is the Woody.
I mean, yeah, but I'd win those too. But no, I'm gonna take porn mainstream. I'm gonna make like the Matrix of porn. That would be pretty. That would
the
be
fucker.
Pretty. You could do a lot of cool special effects with that idea, couldn't you?
This show is going down on a ball of flame. Let's move on to the next email.
This is like an episode of Default instead of FNRF.
Dang, you're a fucking noob.
I know. There's another remix for us.
Yes, our next email actually is from Joel, and he initially emailed me, but he was very kind, and I asked him that I could read it on the show, so he gave me the thumbs up, and so here it is.
Is this that?
Yeah.
Email?
Oh, God,
yeah.
I'm so embarrassed. Jesus. You have a ham radio license, and you screw up SOS. S is dit, dit, dit. O is da, da, da. So S is short, O is long. So in code, SOS would be dit, 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 da, 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 dit, dit, dit. O, and the guy that you were chatting up on the repeater is a moron, too. I don't care where you are. Break is an emergency word. Anyone breaking in with a break should be an emergency situation. This is what I learned when I went through my studies to get my license. With that said, depending on the area, you do have different procedures by hand. Area ham culture. Be hospitable when you go on the air, and if someone screws up, you just kind of let it go. It's not worth it, Joel. Yeah, I gotta admit. Mea culpa, my fault. Like, I was kind of put on the spot with that question, and I always seem to mess up stuff when I'm prompted like that. So, and when he pointed it out, I was like, no, I didn't say that. And I'm like, oh, crap, yes, I did. Damn it.
Yeah.
I can't stand actually
there.
Listening to myself.
Doesn't it suck to hear yourself make a mistake?
Oh, it even sucks to listen to my voice. I can't stand my voice as a recording.
Well, that's good, because no one else can either. Ba-dum-bum.
Well, see, if you didn't make that comment, I would have too, but...
Oh, okay. Well, so look, I don't even know those freaking symbols in your stupid tiny URL, Alpha, Bravo, Foxtrot, Buttfuck, whatever the hell those names are. But I know that dot, 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 dash, 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 dot, dot,
well,
dot is
SOS. You're still a noob, though, because you don't know the phonetics.
Yeah, well. So
you are a November Oscar, Oscar, Bravo.
If we would have both been out in a ship, I would have gotten saved, and you would have been, there people would be going, what does he want? OSO, OSO.
Dude, if you see someone going OSO, I mean, you got to say, okay, the guy's a noob, but he obviously has some type of issue.
Well, if you do it constant, aren't you going SOSOSOSOS anyway?
True, good point.
Do you stop after the SOS?
Who knows? I don't know. I've never been in that situation.
You're supposed to pause after that. Well, you're supposed to pause after any word, right? So, theoretically, yes. But, of course, if you're really in an emergency situation, I'd just be pounding the hell out of the damn thing. How do you spell help, motherfucker? That's what I'd be spelling out. Fuck the SOS.
I think he sent problems, sir. He just sent up help, motherfucker. Oh, okay. We'll send them a lifeboat.
Yeah, if he'd have said SOS, we would have rushed out there, but calling us foul mouth.
I say, sir.
I think we'll just take our time.
You see the helicopter flying over, and all of a sudden it hovers down, and you see the guy flip you off, and they fly off.
Well, see, it's probably like those calls to 911 where people call for the stupid things, like the woman going through the drive-thru because they didn't get her hamburger order right, so she calls 911. You know, it's probably the same thing with SOS. They probably get all these SOS calls for stupid little things, but when they get the one message coming through that says, help me, motherfucker, they're going to take that one seriously.
Could be. That's a very interesting. Perhaps we'll have to test it out someday. We'll abandon you in the middle of the ocean.
Well, let's hope that doesn't happen. Might be a little too close to home there, huh? All right. So what else we got to do?
Our next email is from My Name is Earl. And it's
greatest, one of the greatest handles ever, by the way. Only because great show, clever name, and his avatar in the forums makes me laugh.
I don't remember the one in the forums. So.
Oh,
really? Okay. See, I don't watch the show, and I don't remember the forums.
You know,
dude, I don't watch TV
Earl?
For the most
oh,
part. Doctor Who, Battlestar Galactica.
Oh,
you're off. Oh, I'm not talking to you anymore.
I watch good stuff like Flavor Flav.
Oh, dear Lord.
The girl dookied on the floor. How could you not watch that? That's good TV.
Dude, today I'm walking up the street in Boston, and there's a turd on the sidewalk. And it wasn't as much a turd as it was a pile of poo. And it was bounced off the side of a building.
It bounced off the side of a building.
Someone did it, not something.
What do you mean it bounced off? There was like a mark where it hit the building.
Yes,
and
like someone squatted down against a building and decided to let it fly.
Oh, well, I think I have successfully derailed this episode more than any episode ever in the past, and I am giving myself 5 points.
Of course, because we actually have no real kind of topic this week, so.
Actually, we do. I have kind of a little bit of a topic. See, I've been wanting to make some blog posts lately, too, while I was on the road traveling, but the time that I would have spent doing that, I spent working on this freaking server, so I figured I'd gather all these up and put them on the show.
Woo, yeah, baby. Anyway, so my name is Earl writes, I liked your Dear Black Ratchet and Booter, I liked your discussion of culture jamming in MinRev Radio number 175. Great topic. One very important culture jammer you neglected to mention is Joey Skaggs. He was a pioneer in the art of culture jamming, quite possibly the first culture jammer. Joey Skaggs started out in the late 1960s, doing the type of public street theater performances that were popular in big cities back in the hippie days. Early on, he and his crew discovered the tactic of playing tricks on the general public around them. Skaggs has a particular talent for using hot-button topics to get attention of the hype-hungry mass media, which bring his performances a message to nationwide audiences. His pranks usually exploit racial, social, or religious prejudices and target TV call-in shows. He paved the way for Howard Stern's lowbrow pranks in this area, and the new media obsessions with quaint human interest stories. Consumer press releases and celebrity worship. Boy, there's a run-on sentence.
All right, Strom.
Well, I'm like trying to pause, and I just couldn't do it. He's been on the TV news over 30 times promoting bogus stories and media stunts. His work is a definition of culture jamming, in that it holds a mirror up to society, exposing the hypocrisy and foolishness. Some of his best pranks were the cat house for dogs, the sperm bank that auctions off celebrity splooge, the psychic attorney, the shoeshine boy who made millions in tips from Wall Street traders, and my personal favorite, the Korean soup company that solicited animal shelters for dog meat. If you're interested in culture jamming and want to read some really hilarious shit, check out his homepage at www.joeyskaggs.com. Joey, JoeySkaggs.com. By the way, the Phone Losers of America have also done some funny stunts that might be considered culture jamming. Go to phonelosers.org/pranks and check out the McDonald's and Taco Bell signage pranks and the fast food drive-through shenanigans and the cat shit purse prank. Again, keep up the good work, guys. Talk to you soon in Pound Bin Rev. My name is Earl, and that's Pound Bin Rev at irc.binrev.net. Pimp, pimp, be there.
Pimp, pimp. I'm not sure that I see how putting cat
I don't remember
the
cat shirt
really
in the first,
jamming.
To be honest with you.
Yeah, I don't know if that's really culture jamming, but some of the stuff they do is certainly, like, I would say the McDonald's drive-thru stuff.
The McDonald's one where
they
change the sign? Oh, totally, totally.
Yeah, well, even where they're taking over the RF and messing with people's orders, because you're using their existing medium against them in a different way, so I would classify that as, but it's still more heavy on the prank side. That was fun. That was good stuff. That was, I believe. Well, I don't want to incriminate anybody, but I think that was pretty much Rigel Five's deal going on there. I don't think that's throwing anybody. I think he's on the video, isn't he?
Oh, I forget.
Well, if he's not, we'll check it out and edit that out later if that's not the case. Oh.
Anyway, I can't find the cat shit, Frank. Oh, well.
Yeah. Well, there was, let's see, there was the... I don't know. It's one of those. It's another one of those things that can be very vague and cover a lot of different things. I don't know if I'd go so far as to say that it paved the way for Howard Stern or something like that either. I mean, you know, other people can have ideas independently of each other, but definitely sounds like it's very similar.
Well, it sounds like he's like one of the first people to. I don't know. I guess you could say prank call live events, like the whole O.J. Simpson thing. When the guy called up CNN and said, "Oh, hey, I'm O.J.'s neighbor. Get me on the air," and he put on this like the old blackface accents. Oh, now looky, and he was being interviewed on the air. Oh, O.J.'s crouching down real low right now. I think I see the gun.
Yeah, and see, usually there's kind of a fine line too of whether it's a prank versus whether it's actual culture jamming is. Kind of the intent. I mean, it can be funny and everything, but it makes a point, you know, that the media doesn't check their sources and let stuff like that go on. I mean, there is kind of a little message there that shows, you know, the mass media and the hypocrisy and the fact that they don't check their sources and don't care that they're sensationalizing the news. And, you know, there's actually a message in it, culture jamming generally. It's not necessarily driven to be funny or to be a prank. That's usually the side effect. The actual message is the reason for the culture jamming, to try to deliver a message, whether it's a message of protest, a message of enlightening people about some information about it, like the truth advertising for the cigarettes, for example.
You first pronounced that wrong. The lies. Some of the shit they pull
out
is stupid. Yeah. I can't
stand
them.
Oh. Well, you don't necessarily, that's the other thing, is it's you don't necessarily have to agree with a lot of stuff
like,
either.
Oh, you know, smoking has all this horrible stuff in it. Oh, man.
I think the funny thing is, I think we should all know
if
that
if I drink
by
a banana and then a glass of milk, I'll have the same ingredients as potassium cyanide. Your point?
Well, anyway, I don't want to get into that topic and delve into. But if you know it's got stuff in it, why do people do it? But anyway,
they really try. I mean, the anti-smoking lobby, in my personal opinion, and I'm going to say on a little political tangent here, I guess, is overblown.
Oh no!
Out of all the tragedies or issues in America and the bodies per day.
Well, I honestly don't know enough about it to speak intelligently.
300 people die per day
from
smoking cigarettes. Well, you know, a million people die on the highways per day, your point, or whatever the number. Whatever it is. It's like some obscene number, though, once you actually put it in perspective.
Listen, we have the interweb at our disposal.
Oh,
somewhere out there. There's got to be a thing that measures how, like, the biggest killers. I mean, they're like heart disease and stuff like that, the highest.
Yeah, I think it is.
Stuff like that, you know, actual diseases and stuff like that, more than any of that kind of thing. Of course, that could be brought on by, you know, smoking and destroying your lungs and other things. But anyway, I digress. Oh. So I guess we're done with general hacking.
That's done with email, so. Yeah,
we had
three emails this week. We had
email.
Like at least 50 spams. It's disgusting. This is starting to become an issue here.
Yeah, but we were able to fill the time with intelligent talk about boogers
and
feces,
car deaths
so,
and smoking. You know. Yeah, and potassium cyanide.
Exactly. Well, actually, kind of following up on that email about the episode you did with Booter, I was listening to that one at work and I thought it was actually a pretty cool episode. I wanted to follow up on a couple specific things, though, and that was the Jenny scan that Booter mentioned. And I still think that scanning is, you know, and actually it's funny, I mentioned Decoder again in this episode. We were just talking last week and about the fact that nobody freaking scans anymore. I posted that in that thread, and I was talking to Decoder, and I'm like, nobody scans. You're the only one that ever scanned anything, or at least... You scanned, and other people, I guess, got motivated.
Decoder was a
fucking
machine.
Stop! Nobody seems to be scanning. Yeah. So he enjoys. It's what you enjoy. If you enjoy doing it, and I don't know, people, I guess there aren't any true phone freaks left out there that like scanning. Everybody's doing the asterisk stuff now, and nobody likes the old school stuff anymore, so I don't know. So I think it's a cool thing that just Jenny scanned. Yeah, sure, it was done before, you know, whatever. That's not the point. I mean, mm-hmm. these numbers have changed and whatnot. I think it'd be cool if Jenny Scan became like an annual event, an annual tradition. At the end of every year, we do another Jenny Scan and track the changes and modifications to them, which is actually a really mm-hmm. good example of data warehousing, truthfully. I don't know if that's not exactly our topic or anything tonight, but if I may take it, how's our time? Do we have time for me to go off on a tangent about that? Because yeah, data warehousing is like a lot of people have this misconception that data warehousing is just means a really big database. Well, it's not that simple. It's not all there is to it. It doesn't just mean warehousing a whole lot of data. It's about having a whole lot of data and mining it for different trends and patterns. So I think this is a good example. I didn't mean to go into this topic tonight, but I can use this as a good example because Jenny Scan, for example, let's say we did turn this into an annual event. We could scan this every year, and let's say we did it for 5 years in a row every year and tracked them. Well, some of them are going to be the same every year. Some person's got that number on lockdown, like the one you talked about that had the theme song. They used that for their theme song. I wonder if they're paying Tommy Two-Tone for that, by the way. For the rights or the royalties or whatever.
Probably at least about 5 cents per play. Yeah.
Something, probably. If not, hope we didn't just get him in trouble. Yeah, like Tommy's listening to this. Tommy Two-Tone's listening going, yeah, where's my royalties, bitch? I'm Tommy Two-Tone, bitch.
Who knows?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. That was Juggernaut. I don't know, but the records company, you know, they're the ones that care. Tommy Two-Tone probably doesn't give two fucks about what you do with it, but anyway. So if we did that 5 years in a row, a lot of those numbers aren't going to change. They're going to be the same company, same people have had it for years, but some of them are going to change. And really that's what data warehousing and data mining is all about, is to find those things that have changed and look for trends. Does that number change hands every single year, every time? I mean, that could be a trend that, and you'd have to do some analysis on it, but it could mean a lot of different things. It could mean that it was a residential number that gets reassigned every year. Could be that it was ported from one place to another. It could be a lot of different things, you know, depending on who answers and what it's going to. If it's a business number, you could see maybe it got sold after a couple years or something like that. I mean, there could be a lot of reasons behind it, but by gathering that information over a period of time and then looking for trends, that's truly what data warehousing is. Just to go off on a weird tangent because I've been putting together a little presentation on that topic. But, yeah, I'd love to see Jenny Scan become an annual tradition just for the fun of it, just to get scanning going again. And not only a Jenny Scan, but any kind of scan, you know, going. If you know,
What was that 800 number scan that never actually got done? The 395 scan or something?
Well, a lot of people got it started, but, yeah, never completed. But that's a lot of – that's a lot.
Well, I mean, how many people do we have on the forums? If we have enough people on the forums and
yeah, well, some of them did it. Maybe we should reopen that. Dig up that old thread. That's the other thing too, is once the thread slips off that first page, you know, out of sight, out of mind thing happens. So maybe we should find that and dig it up, move it over into the project.
Oh, we'd have to redo completely.
But, you know, hey, everybody wanted this project, and everybody thought it was a good idea to make this project section, and nobody's really participating.
We have
a
couple of people.
Frankly.
When people start asking about, you know, I have this project idea, it's like, well, use the project forum, see what the hell's going on. No one ever seems to do it.
Yeah, as long as it's a community project, there were a couple that I had to, unfortunately, move to general hacking or whatever because they weren't community projects. So it was like, help me do this. Homework assignment or help me.
Not the project. The community helps me do my homework. It's, you know, it's wonderful. It's a group thing.
Yeah, it's not exactly what I'm envisioning with that thing. But I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it comes out. I mean, I've got a bunch of project ideas that I've been meaning to post out there, too. Some of them are as simple as article things. Just somebody, first person that grabs it and volunteers to do it, you know, do it. Go get it published. Put it to 2600. Send it around, you know. Lots of stuff like that I want to put in there, too. But again, the server will quit being a little pussy on me all the time and do its job, then maybe I could get to doing other things. Yeah, I'm kind of bummed out about that, I got to be honest. If it hasn't come across pretty fucking evidently clear, I just so frustrated that I'm spending all my time doing sysadmin for the last 6+ months and not getting enough time to.
Sysadmin is hacking.
Sysadmin isn't hacking. Meow.
Here's another cool thing I'd like to see. Here's a cool maybe a project is you guys talked about on that show about in regards to Culture Jam you were talking about it, and we'll take it outside of that, was like phone numbers mm-hmm. from different movies, TV, and stuff like that, and about the guy who gave out his phone number in the rap song, and the one you were saying that
yes,
they changed it for
Crucial
the DVD. Yeah, see, I look for that kind of stuff, too. And on my telephonic craptaculars in the past, I've called some of those numbers, you know, because some of them are real, some of them have recordings, like, you know, Lost had some real numbers in it, which turned out to be all extra story, extra plot to the story and stuff, which was kind of cool. But sometimes it's actual real numbers that people have or and didn't realize. You know, if it's 555, you know it's usually not a real number. It's reserved for that kind of stuff. But a lot of people don't know that and don't follow that. So I think it'd be cool project to gather up a bunch of those and, I don't know, call them every once in a while, make a telephonic craptacular, make an episode of Freak Factor.
Hi, is Jenny there?
That comes back. Yeah. Hey, are we on the speakerphone? Is this Walmart? Hello? Thank you. That was my impression of every episode of Freak Factor ever made.
Oh, dude, I think they hung up. No, I think we're on it. Come on. Come on. There's a sale on everything.
Free. Owned. Oh, all right. Anyway, that's all I had to say about that. But you want to say...
Oh, well, there's our real topic. You're the real topic master of this tonight.
Well, I don't know about all... I don't know how real of a topic this is, but because of my travel, it was on my mind, and I thought I'd do some travel topics. I don't know. Travel... Let's call this episode Travel Gadgets, I guess, because I wanted to talk about some of my cool new toys I've been using lately on all my travels abroad. Well, not so much abroad.
You weren't
abroad?
What?
What's the word? When I was traveling within the United States, I didn't actually go abroad. Can you only use the word abroad?
I don't
abroad
know
when
what abroad means,
right?
To be honest with you. Well, that's what I kind of always used it as, was like,
abroad.
You know, oh, I'm going out of the country. I'm traveling abroad.
Right. Across the pond. Well, anyway, with all my travel within the United States and Mexico, been doing a lot of that lately, so I've got a few gadgets, and again, I've been meaning to write them up as kind of some blog entries, type up some
reviews. Thanks, going to Mexico,
and his
gadgets
there,
are actually,
you know,
steroids, but...
they're all Juarez gadgets. Hey, you can probably get steroids cheaper
that's
in Mexico.
Crazy.
All the drugs
but when I went down to Mexico, and like we went to little tourist traps, and like you see the back room, and it's lined with like Viagra, steroids, I'm like, oh my...
Well, that's just it. It's not Viagra. It's like Myagra. It's like the broke ass Gennaro copycat Viagra. The Myagra and the like the fucking Xantax instead of Xanax or whatever.
I don't
hell,
know.
You know
I mean, it was all
everything.
Like behind the counter, so because apparently they don't want you walking off with it. But it looked like at least it
right.
looked like Prisker. Yeah.
Well, there's no FDA or anything involved, so you don't know what you're getting. I guess if I needed, like, some really expensive medicine, like, it's worth a shot to try it, I guess. But, yeah, I'm going to wait till I get back across the border before I buy some Benadryl or anything. I don't want to come back with Mexican Benadryl and have, like, an
well,
extra
Mrs.
arm
Ratchet's,
going out of my back or anything.
Allergies are acting up, and she's like, oh, man, I need some. I wish I had my prescription. I was like, well, we can go across the street.
Yeah. Well, all right, so here's one of my, I guess, well, it's going to be a general travel to, you know, if you're a hacker traveling, you know, there's so many opportunities and so many things to do. And I think Duel and I did an episode on this a long time back about a lot of fun stuff you can do in hotels. And I think we actually focused not so much on the technology as just the opportunities that were around, like the free food and stuff like that, how to survive and the urban jungle kind of deal. This one I'm going to focus back more on the technology side of things, if you will, and the kind of cool toys you can take with you to play around with and some of the things you can do along the way. First of all, obviously, it goes without saying, but a laptop. You know, you're not going to be walking around with your giant desktop or anything like that, but if you've got a nice little laptop and all the accessories you would want with that, and of course the software installed on it. And I think we've covered topics like that ad nauseum, and I don't think I need to tell people about NetStumbler and Kismet and all the different hacking tools out there. I think that's pretty much
Wi-Fi fo fun if you have a pocket PC with a wireless card.
Pocket PC, well, and not even whether it's a pocket PC or just my, like, for example, me, my PDA phone, my Trio 700, you know, so anything that can run software on such a small scale like that, like, for example, you know, MiniStumbler, I guess, or there's other things out there, even stuff that comes with the vendor of the card that you use, because, here's one thing I've never figured out, is they sell these devices to detect Wi-Fi networks, like little keychains and shit with like six lights on it. And when you get near one, the lights light up.
Or if you get close to a microwave.
What the flying fuck good is that? Oh, look, here's another wireless network. Yay. What the fuck? That's the biggest waste of money I've ever heard of in my life. Why would you buy that?
Well, I mean, it's honestly, he picks up wireless network if you're anything next. Essentially what it is it's a very general receiver for 2.4 gigahertz. And, I mean, that's... Okay, that's great. It picks up Wi-Fi, but it also picks up microwaves, portable phones. It lights up.
And when it does, it shows me by lighting. Big whooping deal.
I agree with you. They're useless. I mean, besides the coolness factor of it, I guess.
It's not even cool. If not, I'd rather have a phone or a PDA phone or just a PDA or... mobile, PC, whatever you want to call it, or laptop even, that not only can I detect it, but I can connect to it, I can scan it, I can
actually do stuff with it. Okay, how much does your PDA phone cost?
You know?
And how much did your...
Mine is a whole different story, but you can buy lower-end ones, so you can get them free with your contract and stuff. Even those prepaid
ones, don't pick
up
Wi-Fi.
You can get nice prepaid phones. Some of these new...
MDA.
You have a SDA, MDA.
My MDA costs $250. I'm like, an MDA costs $250. A laptop, say, you know, cheap laptop costs about $500, maybe less. And what do these cost? $25. That's what they're designed for. They're designed to be really cheap.
Well, but what do you do with it?
Make the lights blink.
Because
pretty lights are cool.
What do you do with it? That's just
dude. Don't be a noob and knock the pretty lights.
I don't get it. I think you're. I don't know. I'd be interested to see what the lowest end PDA phone would cost these days. I mean, if you're already in the market for a phone anyway, you know, it's like anybody that would buy that device to sniff Wi-Fi is probably techie enough that they already have a PDA phone of some kind or a PDA, I would think.
I think so. Who knows?
I don't know. I don't know. But anyway, another sidetracking of topic there. But, yeah, having a PDA phone to me is the best. Because I've been wanting a PDA for a while, and I didn't want to carry around a second device with me. You know, I don't want to carry a cell phone, which I have to carry all the time with work, and then carry a PDA around with me all the time. And now I've got two devices to lose and to charge and to carry, add that extra weight to carry around with me all the freaking time. So, you know, that's why I was been in the market for a long time. Watching for a good PDA phone, but yeah, I had to have some type of internet access, and you know, I was watching the MDA4 or MDA5, depending on what country and what they call it, which still hasn't been released over here, because it had built-in Wi-Fi and stuff. Well, as I was sitting there waiting for that to come out in the United States, finally EVDO and Edge Networks and those next-generation high-speed cell phone networks took off, so finally broke down and got the Trio 700W, and you know, it has its quirks, it has its bugs, but for the most part,
The 750, or I think that's what it's called, 750, the one that just came out, that looks pretty sweet.
Well, they just came out with they came out with a 700WX, which is the 700W with the other carriers, like Singular has a 700WX, and I think, I don't remember, some of the other companies have it. The 750, I think, is another
piece, Windows,
which is the Palm OS-based one.
So,
750W?
Let me consult the interwebs here.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen that one. And I thought the
yeah 750W more
Palm version, Palm based.
Actually,
version.
I don't think it's been released.
Oh.
Singular, it looks like.
What carrier?
I don't know if it's UMTS or.
Well, I'm still got another year in this stupid
thing.
Yep,
UMTS baby. Blow that EVDO out of the water.
Well, it's fast enough, though. It gets the job done for me, pushes my email to me, which is really handy. It's been really great communicating with this with the server situation. And again, this is, again, the kind of thing for the hacker on the go to be in touch and still have. And you know, this one really noob guy came up with one good idea for a change, and that was the Pocket IRC client. So that's kind of handy if I do need, and I have actually needed that, where I'm out there and I connect to the EVDO network and hop on binrev.net,
binrev.net,
and jump
and
in.
And you go in and say, oh, my God, how do I do the hacks?
Mm-hmm. And pound Goatsy. I like to hang out there. And
it's,
man,
great.
A lot of people in IRC these days, too. I mean, they're averaging 60-plus people, man. Averaging. It's always 50 to 60 people.
Mm-hmm.
Always in the,
if you want to come over and need an IRC channel, head on over to our server, because our server is elite.
Yeah, it's been pretty dependable and reliable. It's not on the same box as the forums. So actually, with all the forum stuff going on,
that was our good backup way of getting a message out. We changed topics saying, okay, server's down, sorry.
Mostly phone for me, getting on the phone with Savant for hours working on stuff, and to Biz, and Nick 84, of course, is a little bit trickier for me to get him on the phone. So, yeah, getting him through messaging and email and stuff like that, and Frontalot and all these different people I've been trying to work with. So, yeah, it's been pretty handy. So, I guess we didn't officially mention that, but obviously with the laptop, I think the cell phone goes hand in hand, you know, super valuable, useful tool. And I don't think we should go in too much on that, but I think we've briefly mentioned the whole concept of prepaid cell phones and paying with cash, so that if your communications are something that you want to keep somewhat private or secret or whatever, you can, you know, go buy those things with
mm-hmm.
cash if you can, or get used ones, reactivate them under someone else's name. Kind of comes out the same way, but yeah, that's always a nice way of having some semi-private communication.
Like, go on completely off topic here, but I guess you could say that. If you want to travel, you know, sometimes you go into cities with subways, and one of the subways, the subway in Boston, the MBTA has recently moved to a, we used to have a token system where you'd buy a token, you put it in the turnstile, and you'd be able to get onto the T. And now they've moved over to a sort of a digital card system, which was okay. You know, we had a little, like, kind of magnetic debit card, and that was fine. It was sort of like the MetroCard system. And now, two weeks ago, they introduced this new system that was supposed to augment a little magnetic card system. And guess what happened? Guess what it is? It's RFID enabled. And my monthly pass is becoming RFID enabled. So I am going to have to break down and get one of those damn tinfoil wallets.
Well, you could just fold up your tinfoil hat and turn it into a wallet.
But when I found it, I was like, oh, it's cool, you know. People want it, they can use it. And then I got the little memo saying, yes, if you have, like, this certain type of pass or higher, you're getting one of these. I'm like, what? No. This is bullshit.
They're forcing you, huh?
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
No backwards compatibility.
Well,
here's
what the legacy compliance is. I take out my wallet. Because I get a monthly pass and I take the train. I don't take, like, the subway. And I take out my I get on the train. I take out my pass. I leave it on the table, and I'm usually bouncing around on the laptop. And the conductor comes by, sees my pass, and then continues walking. So yes, this is a rather low tech system, because my pass has like a giant 8 on it, because I'm in zone 8, and that means I can get on the train there. Yeah.
Dock droppage. Zone 8.
Well, people do the math out. They can put the docks together.
Well, and actually, I guess since we're kind of on the subject of PDA phone or cell phone in general, I can do a kind of a mini Trio 700 review. I think I briefly started one a while back, which Teoxy loved. But actually, I've used it a little bit longer now that I've found a couple other bugs worth mentioning. Anybody out there that's got a 700W, here's one annoyance that I have found with it, and Not Theory concurs with me on this one, that they don't call it a bug, but I do. What happens is, and just like every other cell phone, when you change time zones, which, again, I do a lot with traveling, When you change time zones, it's going to connect to the tower and get the local time and adjust your clock. Well, that's all well and good, but it actually goes the extra step of not only adjusting your clock, but adjusting all the appointments in your calendar for you as well by an hour.
Yeah, oh, Windows Mobile, I hate it when it does that.
It's, and even that, you know, the reason they don't call it a bug is that could be a feature if you actually have your stuff in there scheduled for a certain time zone, and when you switch time zones, you do want to be reminded an hour earlier or later or whatever. However,
yeah, I guess
that's not the way I really use it. What I use it for is I put in the actual time of things, especially one thing that it's got into me, and I'll release this. I was going to work on writing a little script or a little hack for this is if you get an email from Delta.com, for example, if you fly on Delta, and I haven't tried this with all the carriers. I only know it works for sure with Delta, is if you send an email, if you get an email to your email account that's picked up by Pocket Outlook, it's there must be some kind of standard tags that I don't know. There must be some XML substandard or something for flights, because if I get my Delta itinerary mailed to me, which you do automatically when you create an account or when you sign up for a flight online, it'll automatically email you your confirmation with all the details. Well, there must be some XML substandard or some standard to the tags that when that email comes into my Pocket Outlook, it at the bottom of the email says, I have detected this flight and added it to your calendar. Now, that's a really cool feature. That is uber elite feature that it'll automatically add my flight. So now my calendar, whatever my time and date that I'm leaving, the flight number, my seat number, and all that information just got added to my calendar automatically just from getting the email. That's really handy for me because, I travel a lot, so I get a lot of these emails, and it automatically adds them. I don't have to go into Outlook and add these things manually and then sync everything up and stuff. So it's a cool feature. However, anybody that does travel knows, and if you don't, here's a little tip to be aware of. Travel on airlines is always done by local time. Whatever the local time to that airport is going to be the time that shows up in that email and shows up on that schedule. So it's already adjusted is what I'm getting at. So then when you travel through time zones and Windows decides to automatically adjust it again for you, thinking that it needs to be adjusted by an hour, no, it's already been adjusted by the airlines. That's their standard. They always do that. Unfortunately, that forces a conflict. So you have to be very careful that you pay attention to what your flight time really is and what has been adjusted and not been adjusted. Because if you've adjusted it by 2 hours and you show up to the airport 2 hours late, you're shit out of luck now, aren't you? Yep.
You're a noob. And they're going to be like, what kind? I'm going to check in for your flight and like, I bet
on
you run Windows Mobile.
700W, I don't really have a choice.
Well, no, they're going to let the
they're
going to
say that, yeah, they're going to laugh
at you.
Oh, I thought you were asking.
You were in Windows Mobile, don't you?
Yeah, they're going to pretty much call you a noob. Now, it is, you know, it's a handy thing. It's just I wish it didn't automatically adjust that. Or somehow they should make a flag that says this is a flight. Don't adjust it. You can adjust all the other stuff, but don't adjust this. You know, like, for example, another thing in there is my BINREV meetings in there. So it'll show up saying that I have a BINREV meeting Friday at 5 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Well, when I'm over in their time, that can be adjusted by an hour, and that's fine, because technically when I'm over in Central Time or I'm over in Pacific Time, it's 3 hours difference. You can adjust it by 3 hours because technically that is accurate. It's going on at 2 a.m. or 2 p.m. on the West Coast, 5 p.m. on the East Coast, so I'll know when it's actually going on over there, so that's fairly accurate. But that's not as important to me as catching my flight home. So the...
Dude, BINREV trumps all,
the
man.
Priorities,
trumps all.
The priorities just seem a little bit off to me. But again, kind of also, you know, what's handy about having the Windows-based phone is you can get a lot of Windows apps. You know, Windows has always been good about providing tools to compile and build stuff, so you can build mobile applications pretty easily with the .NET mobile stuff and development kit. It shows you a screen and the layout and exactly what it's going to look like with the little virtual environment and stuff. And you've done some of that, haven't you, a little bit? You've tinkered with it at least.
Oh, yeah. I've done it. It's pretty lead, I got to say. It's just fun to play with. And, I mean, the emulator is all there. I mean, I was developing stuff for Windows Mobile even before I started actually developing, had a Windows Mobile device. Because it was like, ooh, cool, I can have a little toy Windows Mobile thing on my computer.
Not
Jerry
wrote DDP Freak Toys a long time ago, not for Windows, though, but just a Java app.
Hey, well, what is that for? Yeah, it was a Java, cool. I think. It was for...
I used that a lot.
Well, actually,
on my old
not
phone.
Theories of
yeah,
Man.
I used that a lot on my old phone.
Really? What did you have
oh
for a phone
goodness.
Before this? I don't even know.
That particular one was a Motorola 720 flip phone. Back when it was leaked.
Well, those
yeah.
crazy Motorola.
Well,
chips.
I like the flip phone. I like the form factor of it. Convenient, nice, small, compact. But yeah, the Trio 700 is not so much. Not so much.
I gotta say, I like mm-hmm. the MDA. I dig it. I dig it. Yeah. Dig that bitch. And it the form factor, it's not that bad. I mean, it's a little, I don't know, I guess you could say the depth is a bit larger than a regular phone, but it fits very nicely in my hand, and I don't feel like a complete dope putting out to my head, which I still occasionally felt when I was using my sidekick.
Yeah,
my color
sidekick.
Yeah,
that's because you were sidekick. Using a sidekick. You were a dope.
Yeah, shut the fuck up. But I like the MDA. What I don't like about it, let's see. I had a couple of things. I liked about it that, you know, it was nice. It's Windows Mobile. It had the same reason you liked Windows Mobile. What I didn't like about it and is when I turn it on and I kick it out of suspend, like the title bars don't work. I can't close the application that's currently open and or I can't use some of the soft buttons for like 5-10 seconds after I take it out of suspend, and I don't know why.
Well, and you should probably clarify
it,
when you say suspend,
I mean,
there is no off. You can't really turn your phone off.
I can turn my phone off.
I
don't know about you.
I can put it into flight mode, but I can turn off the phone antenna, but you can't turn Windows Mobile. There's no shutdown. There's no turning the phone off. You hit the power button, it just basically hibernates.
Well, I pressed the button in for 5 seconds and it says I'm shutting down.
Shutting down your phone.
Are you sure?
I do my actual PDA doesn't the
no.
PDA portion of it or whatever you want to call it. Windows Mobile will not shut down. There's no way to shut it down on the Trio 700.
Oh, really? No. The MDA shuts down completely and totally, which is always handy for me because I don't like to put it into mute. I like to make sure it's off, it's dead. I don't want it to ring if I'm
right.
in some place.
I can hold down the button
to...
for 5 seconds. It'll turn off the phone portion. The Verizon Wireless will disconnect, but I can still play. I do it on the plane all the time. I'll sit there and play solitaire or something like that.
Oh, really?
Waiting for the plane's taxiing or something like that. But I can't actually turn the phone off itself without taking the battery out physically.
See, I can turn on flight mode too and all that stuff, but there's a way of turning it off.
Yeah.
I mean, it's off.
Interesting.
Yeah. Trio suck. And the other thing that I like about it is that you can't do on the Trio still, I think, is unless you break Verizon's rules, you can tether it to your laptop, which is the best
and that's
thing
one of the big things
ever.
I wanted out of this phone, and they have claimed for the Trio 700 that they will support it eventually, but it's been a year now I've had it, and they haven't supported it yet. Fuckers. Yeah.
Did you have that for a year?
I got it December last year.
Yeah, it's actually for... Yeah, they did, didn't you? Cause what was I getting? I forget what
gonorrhea.
I was getting. But like we ordered packages like right at the same time, and I was like, "Fuck! I wish I got a Trio instead of whatever I got."
Hmm. Got a couple other gadgets. We still got some time.
Yeah.
Well, actually, we haven't. The other thing about the Trio too, I should mention, is it's a 320 by 320 screen resolution. So a lot of stuff that's developed for like other standard, which is I think what 240 by 240, excuse me. Other cell phones, and tell me about this if yours is 320 by 240. Yeah,
I
like a rectangular shape. I think that's more closer to a standard. So a lot of the apps that are developed to fit on that screen, and they don't fit on the Trio. They have to be recompiled and laid out on the screen differently. And a lot of people just don't bother doing it. You know, so it's like I won't say ported, but it has to be redesigned.
Well, I gotta say, with the MDA, you can flip it in between portrait and landscape, and a lot of applications don't dig that.
Yeah, actually. because they don't know what to do with the new resolution they're suddenly thrown at them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't like changing resolutions. Like, for example, AOL. The other thing I don't like about the MDA is that there's no, or for Windows Mobile 5, there's no free, decent instant messaging client besides Pocket MSN, which I have my own issues with.
Yeah, well.
But, that drives me batty. But, like, AIM 2.0, which is the only free AOL instant messenger version out there, does not like portrait mode at all. If you start up in portrait mode, it doesn't know what to do. And if you flip during it, good luck.
Yeah, I pretty much IRC is all I really need. That's good enough for me.
I miss it because I'm used to it from the Sidekick. I like being always on AIM.
I don't know, I get enough emails constantly and phone calls that just one more disturbance of people IMing me out of the blue, which I get a lot. Kind of sucks.
Mm.
Oh, here's one fun thing I found out on my phone. I installed, Bejeweled? Bejeweled 2, Bejeweled 2006,
yep.
I don't know, whatever the newest Bejeweled is. Well, it'll run in 240 by 240, but it's not quite optimized for it, so it kind of squishes it down. Well, the funny part is that it's Nagware, and you're supposed to register it or whatever. Well, the way it works is, like, it comes up with a splash screen, and it's basically however many times you've used it, it uses half as many seconds delay before the nag screen goes away. So if you used it 10 times, you get a 5-second delay. If you use it 20 times, you get a 10-second delay. So their thought is, the longer you use it, the more they're going to make you wait each time you start it up. Well, the funny thing is, I guess they only made the integer field 2 characters in length, because I found out that once you get to 99, it rolls over back to 0 and restarts. So the worst I was getting was like a 50-second delay, which still sucked, but it was funny that it rolled back over. So that was kind of funny. So I guess really I should register it at this point. But.
Yeah.
If they made one natively at 240 by 240, I would. I don't mind paying for it. Let's see. What else? Another cool thing that I use all the time on the airplane is noise-canceling headphones, which I can't say enough about. These things are going to set you back $50 probably for a decent pair, and more if you go with the Bose high-end type stuff. And personally, I like the ones that cover my ears completely to block out all the whining babies and coughing old ladies and that damn pilot always coming on telling us that, what's going on and how to use a seatbelt speech and all that crap.
Excuse me, sir. I need some clarification. Do I put the small middle flap around the buckle or the buckle around the small middle flap?
So noise-canceling headphones are really cool. They actually work. I was pretty skeptical of them, I got to say. I was pretty skeptical. I'm like, there's no way I'm paying $50, $75, $80 for a set of noise-canceling headphones. That's ridiculous. I'll wear just the cheap $5 whatever over-the-ear things. But, no, airplanes kind of get pretty loud. You don't realize it even when you're indoors. Even when you're inside the airplane, you hear the noise from outside. It does not muffle it all out. It's not loud or overbearing, but you can't hear your computer very well without some sort of headphones. And then even with the headphones, it doesn't block out all the noises. So it generates some white noise to, I guess, offset the noise coming in. So it basically generates more noise to cancel it out, thus the term noise canceling, so that you only hear what's actually being sent through the headphones. And they work surprisingly well.
Yeah, it samples the outside noise, and it creates the exact inverse of the sound wave, so it completely cancels it out.
Negative and a positive.
Pick that sucker up in physics class.
Cancels everything, so those are handy. And actually, I forgot my pair. I have a set of Maxell, actually.
You forgot your pair? Oh, sounds like a personal problem.
I bought a set of Maxell, and they're actually the best that I've gotten. I also got a pair from... what's the other company? Panasonic. I bought a pair of Panasonics. They're both okay. The Maxells are really good and actually fairly cheap. I think they were only about $50, $60. But I had forgotten them on one trip. So I'm in the airport, and I figured, you know what, I'll get a backup pair anyway that I can use at the house or in the office, because I listen to Ben Rev Radio in the office sometimes, and I want to not be bothered and code and listen to Ben Rev Radio and don't be disturbed. So I figured it wouldn't hurt to have a backup pair. So I was in, where was I? I was in Houston Airport that time, and I went to one of those movie rental places, and they sell them, and of course they're way overpriced, but went in and chatted the girl up in there. I never pay full price for anything. I never pay full price for anything, and I've never paid a late fee in my life either. If you can't,
thank
you,
if
you can't talk your way
skills.
Out of a late fee, I mean, you might have to surf a couple operators before you get one that's willing to cancel it or whatever, raise a little hell with them, but I've never paid a late fee in my life. And, yeah, so I chatted the chick up, and then I'm like, yo, you know, how about you hook me up with a family discount? You know, don't you get a discount for family members? So I was like, oh, okay, fine. You know, she hooked me up. So I got those, even though they were overpriced, I got
it. He's like, get away from me, you creep.
Let me have my delusions, thank you very much. So I got after you knocked the price off there, I think I still ended up being $70.
And the cookie lady gave you a cookie because she was glad she didn't have to pay a lawyer to do her restraining order.
You got to remind me of the cookies, man. I'm missing my free cookies. The cookie lady. I wonder if she's still down there. I haven't been.
Hey, after the show, I'm getting my own cookies, man. I got cookies waiting for me in the kitchen right now.
That's a metaphor for something altogether different.
No, I got cookies. Yeah, I'm pumped, man. I got cookies in the kitchen. Like, yeah.
Cookies and then go to the bedroom and get some more cookies.
No comment.
All right, so noise-canceling headphones are handy. I'm not sure exactly what they have to do with hacking, but, hey, this is a gadget episode, I guess. So, what else? Oh, what I use my noise can. All right, so here's something else. I always used to carry two laptops with me. My work laptop, my business laptop, which is a good, stable machine, doesn't have anything extra installed on it other than what I need to do my job, some of my programming apps, my editors, et cetera, general office stuff. And then I would always carry my personal laptop with me as well, stuff that into the bag. And that's what I, when I'm in the hotel and I want to hit Ben Rev or any of those type things, I go to that so that it's on a different
fix
system.
A server.
Because, you know, everything's strapped in New York and corporate places. So just in case, you know, they're not like going out of their way looking or anything, but I just don't want to set it up to have that on my system or install any unauthorized games or whatever. If I want to play party poker in the hotel, I can do that. So
please tell me you do not play party poker.
I did for a little bit. I tried it, but yeah, I didn't care for it too much.
Think spyware.
Well, yeah, that. But you know, that's what that laptop was for, so that I could install that kind of stuff on it, and then you know, wipe it out, start over again. That's not a big deal on that. That's what the goal was. But yeah, that's when I bought the Nintendo DS. I didn't have that on my list. Nintendo DS or PSP or whatever. No, don't buy that. That's Sony. Fuck them. Nintendo DS, some kind of portable gaming thing, whatever. I bought the Texas Hold'em for that, and then I never played any of those online poker things anymore after that. But, yeah, a little portable game system is always handy. Take a couple games, put them in my laptop bag, my Nintendo DS. Make sure you take the chargers for everything that you have, too. Worst thing is when you're in the middle of an episode or something and your battery runs out and you can't finish watching your movie or whatever. That sucks. But anyway, I always carried a laptop, a personal laptop around with me, and I'd watch my movies on that, take a couple DVD movies with me or something, and watch them on the plane. Well, that's kind of big and bulky and awkward, and it's heavy. And if you haven't figured it out by now, when you start adding all these things together, you've got a lot of weight you're carrying over your shoulder and stowing in the overhead, and it's awkward to pull out all this stuff when you're on the plane, and it just became a mess. So I decided that I've never had an iPod or an MP3 player of any kind. I would never have an iPod. So I was waiting till one came out with the specs that I wanted. If I'm going to get one, I was going to get one that also played videos. So with this video players that have been coming out, I've been meaning to buy one, and then when I finally went on this little travel binge that I've been on for the last 2 or 3 months, I broke down and bought one, and they finally came out with one that had the final app, killer app, if you want to call it that, feature, and that was built-in wireless. So I bought the Arco 604 Wi-Fi edition. Now, there's a 604 that's just the normal, and then there's the 604 Wi-Fi, which is built-in Wi-Fi. So I figured with that, I get something I can listen to MP3s on, I can watch videos on, it's got a 30-gig hard drive, and it has Opera browser built in, which, you know, Opera, what are you going to do? But it has built-in Wi-Fi, and I figured that'll give me what I need to browse the global interweb so I don't have to carry that big, heavy second laptop. Well, yes and no. It's not exactly the most robust, and we'll do kind of a little mini-review on the Arcos 604. Again, like I said, it's Opera. Let's back up to the Wi-Fi itself. The Wi-Fi in there only supports certain protocols and certain types of encryption. It has a couple of WPA types that it will not support. It'll support WEP. It'll support some WPA, but not others. You can go in there and manually configure certain things, but it's not like it's not very smart. It's not smart enough to be like NetStumbler, where it's going to automatically detect things. You have to go out of your way to scan to find local networks and connect to them. So that's kind of, I wish it had a feature where I could just automatically connect to a network that it detects when I'm in range or something. That would be kind of cool. So that's kind of a bummer to have on there. But you can connect to a wireless network, and the difference between doing that on my cell phone is the cell phone is running through basically a WAP server or a proxy, really, is what it is. And when you do that, you don't get to see things. For example, and here we'll tie this into a little hacking topic. Not that I'm condoning this, click fraud. But if you go through your PDA phone or your PDA in general using the phone, network. It's going through that proxy, and most of the advertisers, like Google AdWords, for example, will not show you your ads. Well, this is Wi-Fi. It's Wi-Fi just like anything else on a laptop or whatever, so you're not going through a proxy. You're going through the actual global interweb. So the thing is, it will show ads. So if you're someone on the go, if you're a hacker on the run, and you've got ads on your site or someone else's site that you want to support, you can click on those ads, and it doesn't know any different that you're just another web surfer clicking on the ads. So that's kind of a neat little trick.
Woo!
And again, if it were automatic.
Thanks, dark tips.
If it were, oh no, you did not just say dark tips. if it were automatic, where I could hop and make it easier, that would be better. But yeah, it's kind of awkward that you have to manually connect to it, and it becomes so much of a hassle that it's just not really worth the time. And the browser itself, it's on you. The screen is, oh my gosh, it's 4.3 inches. So it's not like you have a full screen resolution. So what Opera, and I think the reason they use it is Opera is very, it's very adaptable to different screen sizes. It has some kind of mini mode or something where it will detect and try to adapt the screen to make it fit on whatever size screen you've got. So it doesn't quite look right. Any screen that's been optimized for certain sizes is going to stretch and it's not going to come out right, and a lot of maps don't work right on it, image maps. It just ends up looking clumsy and awkward. So any of those sites that are like designed to flow and have this graphic connect to that graphic doesn't always happen and work out the way you expect it to. So,
and that happens on your PDA.
Yeah,
too.
Exactly. So I guess the long and short of that is, long story short, is the wireless access, the internet browsing, other than the fact that it's actual browsing and not a proxy, there's really no benefit over surfing on my actual Trios PDA phone. It's not good enough that I could use it regularly to browse forums or anything like that. It's no different than browsing them on my cell phone. If I wanted to look something up in a pinch, I could. If I wanted to connect and check Hotmail or something like that, I could do that. But anything more than that, if you actually think you're going to surf through /dot and browse and read a lot of stuff on it, I found that it was just too awkward and too small and just not – it doesn't replace having a laptop to do actual web browsing. So keep that in mind if you're looking forward to Wi-Fi on this bad boy. Now, one of the greatest things about it, however – and by the way, feel free to yell at me and tell me if we're running out of time here.
No, we're doing good, and I'm just listening because I'm actually kind of curious about the Arcos.
Well, there's one of the bad things about it, but one of the greatest things about it is that it will charge via USB. So I don't have to carry a charger, an AC adapter around with me, which is incredible. I can just carry the USB cable, which will let me to sync it to the laptop, and it'll charge through the laptop at the same time. So you can have your laptop, and what I do is when I get to the hotels, I plug in the laptop, plug in the device and let it charge overnight, and the next day I'm fully charged and ready to go. Because the battery life on this bad boy, they claim, is, I think, 4 to 6 hours or something like that with video. I think it's 5 hours, I think, that they claim. That's just not accurate. I don't know how they came up with that. Maybe that means, like, if I configure it with the lowest brightness setting, because that's what saps the battery more than anything, is the screen. So maybe that was calculated using the lowest brightness setting and everything. Well, I get about... I'd say I get maybe 3 hours, 2.5 to 3 hours, let's say 2 to 3 hours of video out of it. So I can get on a flight for 2 hours and watch a movie if I wanted to. It supports DivX encoded AVIs, WMV.
Cool.
It does not support a lot of other different codecs. It doesn't support XVID, which is one of the bad things about it. I was looking at another one called the Cowon, C-O-W-O-N-A-2. That one was really, mm-hmm. That was what I was going to buy. Versus the Arcos 604 without Wi-Fi. But when the Wi-Fi came in, I went with the Arcos. But the Cowon, if you want something that's very open-source friendly, supports OGG, Vorbis, XVID, a lot of different open standards. So if you're more interested in leaning towards that side of things, the Cowon is a cool device as well. So, yes, now that you know, now in retrospect, now that I know the Wi-Fi is not all I had hoped it would be, yes, I probably, if I had to go over again, would go back and buy the Cowon A2. The other feature the Arcos 604 has is that it has a built-in DVR. Well, not exactly. You have to buy the docking station separately.
Oh, you have to buy. Oh, man.
You have to buy that separately. So if you're into that, you know, it's kind of a cool thing. You can dock it and have it record all your shows, and then when you travel, you can watch them. But quite frankly, I want to watch my DVR stuff on my nice big screen TV. I don't want to watch it on this. So to me, that's kind of – I didn't bother to buy that extra add-on thing. And finally, the other thing to say about it is that it turns out that it is Linux-based. It's some sort of little embedded Linux. Now, the thing that's weird is – I had to really go digging to figure that out. They don't publicize it. They don't make it known. They just comes up with I guess I can't say proprietary screen because it's Linux-based, but it comes up to a splash or it comes up to a menu system that you really couldn't tell that it was Linux. There's no, like, identifying things that make you go, oh, that's obviously Linux. I mean, you don't see any splash screen. You don't see any startup stuff. It just comes up to this menu, and it's kind of hard to figure out exactly what it is. I kind of had a feeling it wasn't Windows-based, because if it was, they'd slap the Windows logo every freaking where. But I thought it was maybe some proprietary thing, but as it turns out, it is some sort of Linux now. What kind, I don't know yet. I haven't been able to break that down, but theoretically that means maybe I can actually get some Linux apps recompiled and running on it at some point. So hopefully maybe some other people have pursued down that, and I'd love to see some things. It's not like I can pop open a shell or anything on it. So somebody
crap. What's the one that just came out? It really isn't more of a video thing, but it's more of a video gaming system, and I'm completely drawing a blank on it.
It
came out in Hong Kong, and it was Linux based.
What is that thing called? I know what you're talking about. I can't think of the name of it. It's an open source something 32. They call it a.
Yeah, GXP32.
Something like it ends in the 32. I can't think of the name of it, but that's more of a gaming, you know. I mean, it has, and yeah, it's been modified that it has support for RSS feeds on there, weather modules. It's kind of like everything that Myth TV could do. It's been built onto there, as well as the ability to play games. And I think the MAME emulator has been ported over to that thing too. So you can play all those games, as well as games that are actually designed and written for the hardware.
Cool.
Yeah. Kind of a cool device. I do not have that one, though, so I guess I can't officially make a review on that one. But I've read about it. It looks pretty cool. So let's see. Arcos 604, I think that's about it for that. Linux powered. It's going to run you about four. I got it for $400. I'm sure the price will drop a little bit. I think it's supposed to retail, I think, at $450 or $500. I think it's $450 is retail, so... I got it for $400. You shop around online, you might find it for. By the time you add shipping, you're going to pay $400. I mean, I think I saw it online for like $370, $375, and then you pay $25, $30 shipping. You know, you're back to over $400. So if you can get it locally, buy it locally. That way, if you have any problems and want to return it, you can easily.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true of anything, not just the Arcos. So there's the Arcos mini review. One other thing that it doesn't have that I wish it did. If it's got Wi-Fi, and it's got all these other features. I was kind of sad to see that it doesn't have a male client. I would love it.
Oh no!
Yeah, I would love it to have some sort of, you know, a little, even if it's a simple basic mail client of some kind where I can reply to mails on it. So that was a little bit disappointing. So I guess you're stuck with webmail for the most part. Let's see. And one other device worth mentioning. Oh, and you know, and the other thing is the thing, cool thing about this, and you might, if anybody is interested, and you can hold off, wait and see if somebody does. Kind of crack the Arcos 604 and, you know, write some new firmware, better Linux support for it. We can start doing things because that will gain coolness back for me if I can, you know.
The coolness is all about Stank. That's what it is.
What's that?
It's all about coolness for Stank.
Well, it'll gain some usability and some coolness back if it if I can start running some, you know, Kismet. And, well, frankly, anything, if I can start, you know, being connected to a network and then run in map and do that kind of stuff with such a small device. Oh, it's touchscreen, too, in case I didn't mention that.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, touchscreen. And, again, the fact that it charges from USB is one of the coolest things to me. And I'll segue that to my next device here that I wanted to talk about is I bought a GPS, a handheld GPS device. Now, that's something else I've been holding off on for a long time because I have one in my car. You know, that Stankmobile has a nice DVD player and DVD navigation and all that stuff. And I've got a USB device that I plug into my laptop with the software. So that works and gets the jobs done. So like I've been putting off buying the handheld unit. And the reason I finally did is because, well, I like to go geocaching, which, again, if you're on the road and traveling, I get to go to some really strange places sometimes and some really cool places sometimes. And, you know, if I'm not in a hotel fixing that fucking server, I like to go out and take in the sights.
Tell us what you really think, Stank.
Well, yeah, I'm not real happy with the server these days. So I like to take in a little bit of geocaching. Well, I can't exactly drive the Stankmobile. Actually, I'm in a rental, so I don't have the Stankmobile with me anyway. So, and even if I did, when you're geocaching, I can't drive it out in the woods or drive it into these places where stuff's hidden. And I'd look pretty dumb walking around with my freaking laptop in the woods trying to isolate it down with the Bluetooth or USB device. So I finally broke down and bought the Magellan Explorer 500, which is actually a discontinued device. They have the 500 XP or XL or something it's called now. Same damn thing. Does everything you want to do. It is geocaching friendly, meaning that it will add you can go in there and put points of interest for every geocache, and then when you just watch your map and a geocache comes into view, it'll show right on the screen just like any other thing would show up, like a restaurant or any other point of interest, a park, anything like that. It'll show a little geocaching logo or icon. So that's kind of cool, and the reason I went with the 500 also was because it has SD card slot. It has built-in memory, but on these handheld units, they usually do not have enough memory in there to store a very large amount of data. So what they come with is basic highway maps of North America, or wherever you purchase that. You'll purchase the one for your area, of course. Well,
yep.
The North America one has all of the interstate highways and then the big state highways, but it doesn't have any individual roads. They don't have enough room to store all that data on there. But it supports an SD card. So if you're going to buy a GPS device, you can buy one as cheap as probably, I mean, you can get them $100 retail, but if you shop around, you can probably get them on sale for $79 for the real low-end ones. Well, they're not going to have all these features. You're going to be limited to major highways, and, you know, they might support geocaching and points of interest, but you're going to be very limited. If you get one that has an SD card slot, you can put an SD card in there, which, of course, gives you gigabytes and gigabytes of space, however big of a card you want to get. And you can sync that up with the mapping software, which, of course, costs extra. They get you on that one.
Of course.
Now, if anybody wants to start a company, make some GPS devices that are and make an XML standard that will import any XML mapping software, for example, from Google Maps, MapBlast, MapQuest, any mapping software that you can download can export to this XML format, and your device would import it, you would leapfrog Magellan and what's that other freaking big company here that makes them? There's several companies out there that makes them. You can leapfrog all of them.
Oh, crap. I'm drawing a blank of who makes mine.
Yeah, it's got a picture of the freaking – I can picture it in my head, too, and I can't think of it. Garmin. Garmin and Magellan are the two big ones. But if you and the, both of them, they use their own. They only import maps from their proprietary software, which sucks. But anyway, point being, if you want to go there out with the SD card, you have the option of syncing up with the map software and downloading it all to the SD card so that you actually get the local street maps and all the hold more points of interest and stuff like that because you have more storage space. So if you want something that you can take with you, and again, for me and my rental car, not only can I geocache, when I'm in a rental car, I can't take my GPS unit from my other car, so I have this handheld unit and I can actually have my street maps and stuff with me. So with the SD card slot, I'm able to download. If I know I'm going to be in Houston, if I know I'm going to be in New York, if I'm going to know I'm going to be in Los Angeles, I can download the maps for that. Or if I have the room on the card, all of North America street maps, and install it on there. I mean, geez, what if it comes on a DVD? I wonder how many gigs of actual data. I wonder if I could get it on a 2-gig SD card.
Hmm.
And have all the maps and points of interest wherever you go. So it actually would make a damn good GPS device for driving and directions. And stuff.
Yeah.
It doesn't speak to you. It's not going to tell you take a right here, take a left there.
Well, that's what I want, so.
Well, you're going to have to spend more money. See, this one costs $200.
Yeah,
the Explorer $500. And like I said, I don't think they're still making it, but you can still find them in stores. So it's kind of a discontinued or whatever. You can go the next step up and start paying $400 or $500 for the ones that do a lot more of that type of thing. But this Explorer 500 gets the job done, does everything except talk to you and give you the driving directions. And to me, that wasn't a deal breaker. So for $200, it was worth it to me. And I don't know if you'll be able to find it. I got it at the Bass. It's not Bass Pro Shops anymore. I think they changed their name to something else. But one of the outdoor stores. They actually usually carry a very big selection. I had a hard time finding this model that I wanted, ordering it online at full retail price. But I wanted it from somewhere locally, trying to find it so that in case I didn't like it, I could take it back and see if I could find a better price. Well, I found that all the different stores carry different models. I couldn't find the model that I wanted, and the few stores that carried that model were sold out. If you go to one of those sporting stores, even if you're not into hunting and fishing and all that stuff, they carry a wide variety of these because they're very much used for hiking and camping and stuff like that. That's really what they originally, the main purpose of these was. It wasn't geocaching, but the geocaching phenomenon took off and I think created a huge market for these things.
Cool.
And to tie this back to the Arcos, one thing it has in common is it has USB charge.
Oh.
So I can plug in my laptop, charge up my Arcos, charge up my Magellan Explorer, and charge up everything all just from the USB. I don't have to carry an AC adapter for everything. The only adapter I have to carry is for the cell phone.
All right.
So that's kind of cool. So, yeah, that's a feature to keep in mind for any type of gadget that you get. If you can charge it through USB, that's a bonus. Now, It's a bizarre USB. I got to tell you, Ratchet. You got to see this. I think you'd appreciate it. It's
Well, I think we're kind of wrapping up here. So.
Are we? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the interface where it connects to USB, it's fine on the laptop end. It's normal USB, but where it connects to the GPS device, it's like 6 pins, and you have to screw it down with your fingers to make contact. So you don't slide it in like a typical 4-pin USB or 6-pin USB. It doesn't look like a printer cable, USB for a printer, for example, and other things. It's just very proprietary, and you make 6 contacts and screw it down to tighten it, and that is the connection. And I couldn't figure that out for the life of me, and a friend of mine pointed out the reason for that is because it's water-resistant. That tied down so water won't get inside of it, and it has to be sealed. So it has to have these external contacts to prevent that from happening. So, that's it. That's a whole lot of gadget reviews there. That was pretty, quite a bit of it was hacking related. That was pretty okay, I guess.
So, that was pretty cool. But I'm going to have to wrap it up here. Let's see. Email, radio@benrev.com. Do you have shouts?
Oh, my goodness. Let's see. Shouts to, yes, I do. Shouts to, sincerely, I know I've been joking around. Sincere shouts to Savant, Nick84, to Biz, Not Theory, all of whom have been working with me these past few weeks trying to get this thing figured out. So for any of you who think that it's just me, I'm a retard, and I can't figure out what the hell's going on with the server, no, we had a lot of sharp people and took all of us working together to get the server back stable again, and hopefully it'll stay that way.
It's been tough.
Yeah. It's been not fun. Mm-hmm. So those are my shouts, and Let's see. I guess, wait a minute, this is a Christmas episode, so we say happy holidays?
Happy Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa.
Yeah, happy Chanahuka.
Yeah, what else is there? Our site of the week. Let's see.
No,
it's,
don't do it.
Oh, dude, totally. It's
okay?
netcam.stromcarlson.com. You can see Strom Carlson 24/7, sometimes with or without pants.
And if you catch him doing something embarrassing, please post it in the forum.
Oh, totally. I'm probably going to get in trouble.
I know. You're going to get... He's going to be mad.
Yeah, whatever. Let's see. And our closing music tonight is actually from... We had a request, and we had someone send some stuff in. This is a friend savant, whose name is Murphy. He's from the Netherlands. And he submits my buddy Murphy from Netherlands submits the following for closing Bin Rev Radio Music. And it's Open the Komodo Mix Final. And I probably, it's like Open the Komodo Mix and Final is the version, but sounded pretty cool. I didn't mind it. So it was interesting.
Well, I look forward to hearing that myself.
Indeed. I can actually send a link if you want, because they can listen to it beforehand.
How do we make our closing catchphrase more Christmassy? I'm trying to think of same
ho time, same ho channel.
Jingle tower. Guys, where's your mind, gutter mouth?
Oh, shut up.
see how that was funny? Because it was me calling you the gutter mouth. You see the irony there? You see how the humor was in that me,
no.
of all people, was calling you the... Okay, never mind.
Bitch, no. Well, I don't know. What should we do?
I don't know. I guess we'll tell everybody that we'll see him next week. Same jingle time.
Same jingle channel.
Ah, shit.
Hello.
Yeah. So anyway,
open the kimono.
What?
Okay, well, let me put on my black hat for a second. Not necessarily evil. Well, I'll show them how tough I am. Yeah, why don't you go first? And I thought that was weird. Go away. Har, har, har.
But I know a lot of you guys don't do it.
Just get on it. Friends or beer or something.
Baby, take off your dress.
Don't be a noob. Hacking Disneyland.
You can leave your hat on.
Black hat.
You can leave your hat on.
Black hat.
You can leave your hat on.
Bang at bang.noob.net.
What are you drinking?
It's 64 fluid ounces of jelly.
Take precautions.
Anyway. Do not do it from your house. Duh. Don't do it. Duh. Something funny's going on. So botnet, that's where the Transformers came out, right?
What?
Is Grandma still running Windows 95? Somebody get the phone. So let that be a lesson to you.
So basically the message is...
Open the phone.
Exactly. Listen to the man.
The password is Noob Tacos.
Ta-da.
Yeah, ta-da! Nothing over here. Whoop! Rabbit out of the hat. It must be true. Black hat. It's not necessarily evil. Black hat.
Disclaimer, BinRev does not officially support the use of malicious software.
And there might be an admin out there. Sexual favors, exactly. That's how I got verbal install a botnet for me.
Fucking dark room and twiddling the whiskers.
Yummy. Well, I'll show them how tough I am. Fire up their Elite O'Day UDP.pro.program. They're logging into googleman.noob.net, bang, idiot. Upload anything you want. And then you went to jail. Don't do any dumb shit thing that's gonna get you noticed. Anyway,
something funny's going on. I like Google, I like men. Gosh.
No,
someone's gonna loop that into a remix. Well, I like men.
Nobody is listening to the radio show is terribly interested.
Well, I like men.
I've never heard that.
And I thought that was weird.
Loop that.
Go away. Shitload of traffic down the pipe. Directly out of my head. Black cat. Black cat. Har har har.
Loop that.
Black cat. Black cat.
Exactly. Listen to the man.
I like Google, I like men.
So it's almost like a worm, right?
Google purging capabilities.
It must be true.
Duh. Go away.